All right, 2 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to talk about the difficult road to the throne, and we're going to come up on a story in the life of King David. We've been studying David, a man after God's own heart. King Saul is dead. Three of his eldest sons are dead. And finally, 2 Samuel chapter 2 tells us that David is finally anointed by the people of Judah. It says, it happened after that that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Look at verse 4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah, and they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. And as you go on, I just want to savor one moment. There's finally the victory David has been seeking. Remember, David is our hero. At about 13 years of age, he is anointed by Samuel the prophet. And Saul is the first king of Israel. David, who will reign 40 years. David will reign 40 years, and then Solomon, his son, will reign 40 years, and then there will be a division between the 12 tribes. But David is one of the most popular figures in all of Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament, and we're focusing on him because he's called a man after God's own heart. He had foibles, he had failures, he fell short in so many areas, but his heart was right. Did you know that your heart is worth more to God than any act you could perform for God? Did you know the condition of your heart is the most valuable thing in the kingdom of God? Give me someone with a good heart and some bad behaviors, and the bad behaviors over time will wither, but if their heart's right, they're going to turn out okay. Give me someone, a so-called Christian with perfect behaviors and a bad heart, they'll divide a church that quick, and they'll destroy the work of God quicker than anyone else. God looks on the heart, men look on the outside. Unfortunately, we look on the things that fade. We value the things that fade over time. Beauty fades over time. Natural gifts and abilities wane over time. But God's always looking at your heart, because your heart, if it's right, is a great fragrance to him. And when we last left David, he was in a different set of circumstances, but we're going to talk about the difficult road to the throne, and apply some of the parts of David's life to our Christian life this morning. And I want you to see in 2 Samuel 2:4, finally, David is crowned king. This is the big day he's been looking for. He was anointed once in 1 Samuel 16 with oil. Samuel poured oil on his head and anointed him the first time. It's going to take three anointings to get David to the throne. Now in 2 Samuel that we just read, chapter 2, verse 4, he's anointed the second time as king over Judah. But I just want you to try to help David savor a moment. Years of isolation are over. Years of exile are over. Years of waiting are over. Finally, his big moment. It can't be but a day or two before all of Israel will submit to him. But you know what? In our story this morning, it's a difficult road to the throne. Just when you think it's safe to go back in the water. He just received his second anointing. The oil's on his head. Everyone adores David now. Everybody's hailing him publicly. Remember, for 16 or so years, he's been chased by Saul. He has been treated like public enemy number one. He is a man that has gone through so many difficulties. If ever anyone in the middle of the night doubted whether they'd ever heard from God, it was David. I mean, you think you doubt at 3 in the morning. What about this man? Well, now he's had a second anointing of oil. First anointing of oil, when he was a little boy, God sealed him and said, you're my king. And the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him from that moment on. And he behaved himself wisely, but he went back to his father's sheep. Now, years later, his second anointing puts him over Judah, but there's trouble. How many of you know just when you start getting in line with God's will, there's still going to be trouble, because there is a devil out there, and he is very stirred up when we get closer to our destiny. Someone say amen. Well, there's a challenge. David's sitting on the throne, David's savoring the moment, but up north there's a little bit of a problem. All of Saul's kids are dead except one of his youngest son called Ishbosheth. The name for your next little grandchild. Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth is Saul. Saul's dead. His three sons, older sons, are dead. There's a change in regime. David is finally brought forward. He's anointed by Judah. But up north, there's a man named Abner, who is Saul's general. And Abner will not let go yet. How many of you know devils will not let go? They don't want to. You have to make them let go. They'll never stop. You have to make them stop. Abner has lost Saul. He's lost his prestige. Abner, for years, was the right-hand man of Saul. And Abner grabs this one little boy, Ishbosheth, who's still of Saul's seed, and he declares Ishbosheth king. So in the north, only Judah declares David king. There is now a division in the country. For the first time, there's a big division that occurs. David is God's choice, but the arm of flesh, Abner, puts up Ishbosheth. And guess what? All of Israel followed after Ishbosheth and said, he is the king. Now, this is a horrible thing. We've got two kings attempting to rule the same nation, and that is a recipe for trouble. More than one vision is division. The only thing with two heads is a snake, and that's a freak in the natural world, and it's a freak in the spiritual world. When you get more than one vision, you have division. How many of you know that? You can have division in a home. A house divided will fall. The bottom line is, David is finally getting his moment of rest after years of torment, but how many of you know you can be in the promised land, still have a crisis? You can be smack dab in the center of God's will for your life and have difficulties and experience setbacks. Don't ever be foolish enough to declare that God isn't with you because there's a bump in the road. Get this out of your head that when God's finally moving in your life, everything's going to run smooth and you're going to fall in a feather bed every time you tip over. That is not Bible. David was going from grief to grief to grief. Finally, he thinks he's going to get relief, but up north, there's always an Ishbosheth. And so here, the ground is set for two bloody years of civil war. Just when David thinks he's going to have peace and everyone's going to submit to his kingship. Now notice, God, who anointed David? God did. Once in 1 Samuel 16, and he anointed him again in 2 Samuel chapter 2. God has declared that David is his king. So David's going to be king. It's just a matter of time. But you know, the devil can never stop God's will for your life, but he can sure try to hinder it or sure try to take your joy in the process. And way up north, Abner puts Ishbosheth on the throne, and before you know it, there are two solid years of a nasty, bloody civil war. And I'm going to underscore one point this morning. In this story of David, we see an example of partial submission to God's will. When we only partially submit to God's will, there are negative consequences that flow. In this story, Judah submits to David. All the rest of the tribes, there's only a partial submission with regard to God's people. The majority of God's people follow Ishbosheth. They will not yield to David, though David is God's clear choice. David's going to win the day. David's going to win the battle, but not before there are 2 years of nasty, bloody civil war. You know, sometimes in our personal lives, in our walk with Christ, we are only walking in partial submission to the Lord. Amen. Just partial submission. We're doing most of it, except the stuff we're not obeying, but we're obeying all the rest. Now, I'm not talking now about 613 commandments that just are, there's so many volumes of commandments, you've got to be breaking one every 24 hours, and you know, whether you know it or not, sins known or unknown. I'm talking about a clear laid out context where God says, David's my king, submit to him, and only Judah would submit. All the rest of the people went to Ishbosheth. Bad situation. Partial submission to God always yields the following fruits. Listen to the first one. A time of terrible warfare. 2 Samuel 3:1 says, there was a long warfare between the house of Saul and the house of David. When we partially submit to the Lord, there is always going to be painful warfare. Did you know that? And warfare. There's always warfare. We won't submit everything to him because there are just a few things we'd like to manage and take over, and there are a few areas that we'd just like to deal with ourselves. When we only partially submit to the Lord, notice number one, there's warfare. Look at the warfare. And now, was the outcome ever in doubt? No, the outcome was never in doubt because the Bible says that the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Isn't that wonderful? There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. I've been quoting this all year long as a theme word for this year. Yes, there's warfare going on around us, but the house of David is getting stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul is waxing weaker and weaker. The outcome was a foregone conclusion. David was going to win. The house of David, representative of the spiritual claims of God's work in the world, and Saul representing the spiritual warfare that comes from the enemy. How many of you know there is war spiritually in our lives? There's war in our world, but the house of Saul is waxing weaker and weaker, and the house of David is waxing stronger and stronger. That means everything for your cause, as you serve God, you're getting stronger. You may not notice it. It's just little by little, but you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Hey, come on, yeah. Sorry, people. God dragged someone in off the street, and I had to interrupt the message right then. Come on in, Joe and Jen. As I said, the house of Joe waxed stronger and stronger. But you notice the first thing when we are not in complete submission to what the Lord is telling us to do. Number one, there's warfare. Just because there's warfare doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Just because there's a setback does not mean you're not hearing from the Lord. And look at King David. 16 years he's been pursued by Saul, day and night, public enemy number one, treated like a dog, and yet he was the Lord's anointed the entire time. And so look at our text. They were partially submitted to the Lord. All of Israel submitted to Ishbosheth instead of David, but it was a time that yielded terrible warfare. When we are only partially submitted to the Lord, warfare is always the result. Come on now, we've got a devil out there. He's real. Our God, he's real. But you know, the worst devil is our misuse of free will, where we keep shooting ourselves in the foot and the head all the time. Look in the mirror. The enemy is you. We found the enemy. The enemy is us. In most cases, notice all of Israel sided with Ishbosheth. They wouldn't submit to the Lord. David was God's choice. They wouldn't obey the Lord, and they withheld, and there was 2 years of civil war unlike anything Israel had ever seen. And notice whenever we only partially submit to God's will, there's warfare. And the devil doesn't even have to get out of his chair. You know, the devil's after me. Bless his holy name. I remember that man said. Got his praise mixed up with his exclamation. The devil's after me. Bless his holy name. That's what the man said. Loved one, it isn't the devil in most cases. We're not important enough to draw his attention. Notice the trouble David's in, and we're talking about the difficult road to the throne. David, in this instance, thank God, is not responsible for the warfare going on around him. It's the people that were called to support him that won't submit to God, and they're off with Ishbosheth, and that's going to be a short-lived division. But David, in this context, is sitting, and for the first time, he's watching the warfare, and he's not personally responsible for it. Isn't God good? Sometime in your life, you will actually watch warfare go on that you have nothing to do with. Isn't that just a delicious thought? You can just sit back and go, I didn't cause this one. Thank you, Jesus. You can be refreshed and have a great encounter with God. For once, David is, he's been anointed the second time, 2 Samuel 2:4. He's had two anointings. It's going to take one more anointing to get him where he needs to be. And sometimes it takes two or three, as many anointings as is necessary to get us where God wants us to be. Say amen. Say amen. It's so anyhow. There's warfare when we only partially submit to God. Secondly, I want you to notice in our story, there's waste. There's waste. You know, there's always casualties in war. In 2 Samuel chapters 2 through 4, all of those two chapters represent the casualties of war. First of all, many men died in the first conflict. A young man named Asahel was killed by Abner. 20 of David's men were dead. 360 of Abner's men died. Abner is killed by Joab, and Ishbosheth, guess what happens to our lovely hero up north? He gets his head chopped off in the middle of the night. And the guys bring the head to David, thinking it'll bring him joy, and David offers them death. You know, you never know what a king wants, you know what I'm saying? Except Jesus, he's consistent, you know. They cut Ishbosheth's head off, and they come up, and they go, David, he's going to give us a talent of gold each. And David looks and goes, how dare you cut the Lord's anointed like that? And he kills them. So whenever we partially submit to the Lord, there's warfare, number one. Secondly, whenever we partially submit to the Lord and what he's telling us to do, there's waste. Now, there are always consequences to war. There are always horrible things that happen in war. But these were all unnecessary examples of waste. Ishbosheth never had to die. Abner never had to die. And for two solid years, there's warfare. 2 years of civil war and civil strife. The word to us is, it's always going to be a difficult road to the throne. But let's make sure that while we're on that road, that we're not just partially submitted to God's will, but we're wholly and completely. Am I talking about perfectionism? No. I'm talking about the condition of your heart. Your heart, if your heart is right before God, he'll lead you. Philippians chapter 3 has a verse that says, if you be any otherwise minded than you ought to be, even he will let you know. When your heart's right, I just want to hear God's will. I don't, was that me? Was that the Lord? Was that me? I don't know. I saw a funny light. I heard a voice. Shall I go, Lord? Yes, no. Shall I turn left, Lord? Yes, no. Shall I have bacon? Yes, no. Well, which one? The yes or the no? Yes, no. You can go nuts trying to hear the voice of God. Was that me? Was that? There's always mixture to some degree, but when your heart's right, he'll lead you. He'll get to you. He knows whether he has to throw pudding on your face or he's got to do some weird thing. You have 14 birds fly. God will get to you. He knows the specifics that'll move you if your heart's right. And I want you to notice for the first time in David's entire life, this warfare was not directly tied to a personal sin he had committed. So what did David do for 2 years? Basically nothing. It was called troubled waiting. He's got a throne, finally got a throne. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He's got oil on his head. I don't think he would have shampooed that hair for months just to reach up and, God, you know. Remember, he couldn't remember if he'd been anointed before, if Samuel had hocked a loogie on his head. He can't remember back. He knew something happened when he was little. Now he's going to keep that oil on for a while to make sure it's there. And it's going to take one more anointing on his head to make him king over all of Israel. In a few minutes, everyone will yield. After 2 years of civil war and partial obedience, the people finally, when Ishbosheth is dead and Abner's dead, how many of you know God's got to take out the causes of difficulty sometimes before the difficulty stops? Abner was the problem. He was a man who still wanted power. He'd had power all of his years with Saul, and he wouldn't let go of the power that he had. And sometimes those folk can cause 2 years of civil war in your life. But don't get bitter, no matter what happens to you. Get better. Always serve God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And I want you to see what happened. When they would only partially submit to God, there was warfare. When they were only partially submit to God, there was waste. You can waste weeks, months, and years. Sometimes you wake up and you go, I think I wasted a decade. You can waste. Years can go by in partial submission to God. But eventually, just out of tiredness, I keep telling you, I want a t-shirt that says, I'm not holy, I'm just old. Sometimes we look holy, but we just can't run as fast as we could 25 years ago. That's what it really is. Haven't toned anything down. The walkers don't move that quick anymore. You wish you could, but you think I can. I think I can. I know I can't. I know I can't. So you stop and you sit down and they go, he's so holy. I'm just so impressed with your walk in Christ. No, it's my legs have given out. Anyway. David was just tired of running, and God finally gave him rest. But you know what he did for 2 years during the Civil War? Nothing. Nothing. You read the text. 2 Samuel chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. They basically fought the battles for David, and David's walking around, troubled, worrying. You know, you can be in the will of God and still be worrying. He's sitting there going, no, this isn't right. I've been anointed twice. Okay, I think I was anointed. I think I was. Yes, okay. I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king. And you wait. Sometimes you just have to wait while other people fight things out. You just have to wait. He had 2 years of civil war. There was nothing to do but play Yahtzee and take the crown off and polish it. That's all David had to do for 2 years. It was war. You know, there were a few moments. Few heated moments, but how many of you know when you're in the will of God doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulty? When you're on your road to the throne doesn't mean that you're not going to have setbacks, doesn't mean that other people aren't going to not like you. In fact, the closer you get to your destiny, you run into the biggest devils just before you walk through the door of your destiny. You don't walk through those guys 40 miles out. You know, you're on your way to your destiny thinking, I'm only about a mile away. Well, this is getting good. This is getting good. Wait till you get about 15 feet to that door just before you go through. That's when every devil in hell, that's when the big ones rouse themselves up with weird names. in the Apocrypha books. You've never heard of... No, I never heard of him. Is this the Bible? Oh, it's the Catholic Bible. Oh, okay. Well, tell me a little about him. Well, he's very big. And that's who you run into. So David's been waiting, and sometimes you have to wait while other people fight things out. 2 years of a civil war, and David just had to sit and wait. But you know, it must have been a little bit more delicious than being chased for 16 years, day and night, where your heart rate's up all the time. He was getting used to wearing his kingly robes for 2 years, getting used to that crown, the weight of that crown on his head. You know, that has to feel stupid. There's nobody looks dumber in a hat than I do. No one in the world. I know you think you know some. Nobody. I put a hat on, and the whole universe goes a little bit. Hugh Ross wakes up in a cold sweat because some perimeters of the actual universe have buckled a bit. And the thought of me wearing a hat all the time is just beyond anything anyone could manage. And so David, you know, probably feels stupid too. He's been without the crown his whole life. So he's learning, you know, how to walk, and he's learning how to dress. But there are two solid years of civil war. Loved one, whenever we're partially submitted to the Lord, there's warfare and there is waste. And finally, David is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And guess what happens? A profound surrender. Finally, and it'll come to your life, the word finally. Finally. Israel realized Ish-bosheth is dead, Abner's dead, whoopsie. You know, sometimes give people the grace to say, whoopsie, oops. These are the people that have been trying to kill David, his public enemy number one, for 16 years. There's been a bounty on his head. They've all hated his guts and his family, and they've been chasing him on the hills. And finally, they realize, oh, no. I know this is going to sound so stupid, but we've been like trying to kill you for 16 years. Remember the guy with the arrow that almost got, that was me. They're all going to have a change of heart. They're all going to have a sudden change of heart. And finally, one by one, these tribes are going to come up and go, you know what? We be of you, Jesse. We be bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. And David goes, mm-hmm. And David goes out and meets him in the field. They have a little meeting. After 2 years of civil war, this is a bloody time of war and waste. And finally, thank God, all of Israel comes to David and they say, we be of you, Jesse. We be of your house. And there was a wonderful third anointing. A third anointing that finally put David on the throne. It took three acts of sovereign grace to get him on the throne. And loved one, listen to me. Your path to the throne, your path to the destiny God's called you to, is not going to be without difficulty, but it can be with complete submission to God. Only partial submission to the Lord brings war and waste. But if we can completely submit to the Lord and just say, Lord, have your way in me, have your way through my life, my marriage, my family, my concerns, my finances, have your way. I don't want any partial submission. I want total submission. I want to be in absolute sync with you in everything that you're doing in the earth. Let's pray that right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, right now, we want to open our hearts to your word this morning, Jesus. We thank you right now that David was a man after your own heart. First of all, Lord, thank you. Purify our hearts, Lord. Give us hearts that are clean before you. Give us hearts that are set in sync with yours, Lord, that beat to the pitch of your dream, Lord. Make our hearts pure through the blood of Jesus, Lord. Even if we're off on this little thing or that little thing or we're rough around the edges, give us hearts, Jesus, for you. And we pray that for everyone under the sound of my voice here in the building and here over the tapes, Lord. We pray that you make us a heart that is so precious to you, it's like a fragrance. And Lord, secondly, I pray encouragement to my brothers and sisters in Christ who have been up the hills and down the hills and pursued by God and assaulted and attacked and setbacks and fallbacks, and there have been civil wars and other people's sins against them and so on. And Father, we thank you that it's no royal road to the throne. It takes just a day-by-day walking through everything that comes up so that we get the first anointing, the second anointing, and the third anointing. Lord, put all your lambs right where they're destined to be, Lord. And Father, we pray right now that if there's any areas where there is less than 100% submission to your will, we don't want, Lord, any more warfare produced by our lack of submission to you, Lord. We don't want any more waste in our time and life and as a result of partial submission to you, Jesus. And so we ask you to come into our hearts, Lord. Realign us chiropractically. Set our will, Lord, to where we're fully submitted to your will, Lord, in all things, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, mentally, in every area, Lord. Let us be people of total submission. We don't even want another month wasted. We don't want another year especially wasted, Lord, through the warfare and waste that comes as a result of lack of full submission. So, Father, consume us this morning in Jesus' name. Come and do your will in us. And we ask you to just fill us with your fire right now, Lord. Give a fresh touch to every one of my brothers and sisters right now. Set us on fire with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Cleanse away the dross, the wood, hand, stubble. Purify the gold and silver. Lord, give us a fresh touch of fire this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Someone say amen.
Amen. Joe, come and sing something for us. If you